We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. I invite you to turn over there in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. Continuing our series in change, you remember the first five topics that we covered as we think on life in Christ and change, God's will, what causes change. Very important in the Christian life, isn't it? Very important. How do people change? Certainly something that I wrestled with for many years and worked through. And these series of messages really are a lot of me just figuring that out and stringing it together in a way that I hope is helpful to all of us. The first one, most importantly, is we talked about the cross of Jesus Christ. And any change apart from the cross of Jesus Christ is empty. It's meaningless change. And the cross is central to every part of our lives. It should dominate our thinking as believers and remembering our deep need and God's 100% provision at the cross. And we should really run to that and remember that truth that we have a need, we are sinners, and we will be until God comes and takes us and glorifies us. And we need daily to be forgiven, and He does forgive. He paid for every sin on the cross. Secondly, we saw that we grow the same way we are saved by faith. Growth comes by faith, and we'll come back to that topic again today, and that shouldn't surprise us. That we grow by faith in Jesus Christ. It's His work on our behalf that has made it possible for us to be new. And He is saving, He is saving or being saved. He is saving as we are changing and growing the same way we were redeemed, saved. Thirdly, we saw that real change is heart change. Inner person change is the only change that's acceptable to God. It's the only thing that's really important. Any of the external changes that we do or people do are really, again, meaningless. They're short-lived, and if they're not done to please God, then they die when you die. But if it's your heart that God gets a hold of and changes you from the inner person, those are lasting changes, and those are the kind of things where Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Those are the things that are eternal. Real change is inner person or heart change. Fourth, we saw that change comes by the Holy Spirit. It is His power in us that changes us. It's not our own strength that we will change in. It can't be our own strength that we change in. And we desperately need help. And God has sent the Helper. And He uses His Holy Spirit to work in us. And He is the power within us to change us. Last week we saw that change happens by using God's Word. Very important. Very practical as well, isn't it? Change that's pleasing to God, real change, inner person change, is not going to come by listening to some other person's opinion or idea or thoughts, but what God says. Not what I think God says, what I think would be pleasing to God, but what does God say? Very, very important. Because, boy, this world is full of talking heads, isn't it? People who have an opinion for your life, an opinion what you should do, an opinion how you should change. And the church is full of people with opinions, right? Opinions are okay, but they're just that. They are opinions. We have to keep in front of us what's truth, what's important, and that's what God says. And it's God's opinion that matters. And any other ones are take them or leave them kind of thing. Now, today we're going to talk about the process. We're going to talk about this process of change. And what is our part? What does that look like? And I'll have some other thoughts to share on that as well, even as a warning as we begin. But let's read this Ephesians chapter today. It very clearly lays out some of these process things. And then we'll kind of just unpack this whole process and even touch on a couple other things here. Read with me Ephesians 4:17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Wonderful reminders today. Pray with me. Lord, thank you once again for the opportunity to look into your word together and to talk about this process of change as part of just our thinking on how change happens. God, I pray that your truth would be clear to us today, that it would be certainly practical and personal to each one of us, and that we would find ways, even today, this morning, this afternoon, to conform ourselves to your will and to let you change us. And I pray you just bring to light whatever area in each one of our hearts you want to work on next, and to just help us as we seek to submit to you and really do our part in this process that you've called us to in becoming more like Christ. God, give us grace as we look into your word today. Help us to understand these things anew, deeper, in a deeper way. And God, just continue to work in our lives. We know that's what you're about, and we're so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the process. The process today. First thing I would say is keep in mind that this is number 6 in the series. And we'll come back to that. One of the things that I think is very important as we look at this, we call it the put off, put on process. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And in the midst of that, of course, is renewing your mind. As we unpack this passage today, we'll look at these things. But I want us to understand and hear this today. This is message 6 for a reason. I think as people, and certainly in the church, this is pervasive, that we very often jump from 0 to 6. We jump from 0 to 6. The cross is left out. The Holy Spirit's work is left out. Even, guess what? God's word is left out. Can I say that? It happens. It happens. And we jump from 0 to 6, and we say, well, here's what the Bible says about morality, and let's just do that. Let's get moral. And guess what happens? You can do it. You can do it for a while. The Pharisees were very moral. They were incredibly moral. But Jesus said about them that your lips are near me and your hearts are far from me. That is not what we want. That's a terrifying thought to me as a pastor, in fact. That we would jump from 0 to 6 and work on morality and see, again, it can be someone's opinion about what morality is, right? Hey, the world's full of talking heads will tell you what morality is. In one sentence, they'll tell you something that is evil is okay. In the next sentence, they'll tell you that something that's good is evil. It's crazy. And they have all their ideas about it. And the church is the same way. There are many opinions about what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Now, it's okay to have an opinion. But if you jump from 0 to 6, you got a problem. You've got a problem. He is not talking fundamentally about morality here. He's not talking about taking what God says about how you should live and making that the goal or the issue. And hear this, even in a series about change, the goal is not change. It never is. It never will be. It never should be for you as a believer that your number one goal is change. And we'll come back to that. Keep that in mind. Chew on that a little bit. The goal here, he's not even talking about a process of morality per se. And you'll see why in a little bit. But there is a process to change. We'll unpack that. We'll keep those things in mind as we move forward. The process is put off sinful thoughts and actions. And again, this is not an into itself or a goal. The goal is to please God, to know God, and we'll come back to that. The process, put off sinful thoughts, attitudes, and actions. As he said, that's the put off. So we have these old man things, as even as believers. We have these old man things in our lives. The sin nature is still, although dealt with at the cross, although in one sense powerless, in other words, it cannot dominate us like unbelievers have no power, we have the old man still within us that we have to deal with. Romans 6 thoroughly, 7 thoroughly treats that issue and talks about that. We have this old man that this will, part of the process is to deal with that. These sinful old man thoughts, attitudes, actions need to be put off. And then I need to be renewed, the second part, renewed in the spirit of my mind. And renewed, again, by using God's word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by listening to, doing, and obeying God's word. And so I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. The things that used to captivate my thinking can no longer captivate my thinking. And it's sometimes a sticky wicket to work out in life, but you can grow in that. You know, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. And how one way it helps me think through it is, I live in this world and there's many things that I can enjoy and it's okay. But how do I respond when I don't get what I want? That starts to give me a little bit of a measuring stick. If I want something and I don't get it, and I'm ticked off or I'm depressed or whatever, that shows that my heart is in the wrong place about that thing. When I get it and I enjoy it, great. If I don't get it, I say, praise God. Okay, he didn't want me to have that right now. That's okay. But other than that, putting off those things that drive the world and the world cares about and the world wants, not important to a believer, right? And don't we just focus on the temporal way too easy as believers and not remembering that there's so much more for us, so much more. So putting off those things, especially the things that we know, clearly God says, look, don't love these things. Don't find yourself in these. And these are in this passage, right? The things that we need to put off. Put on, then, the new man. That new man, of course, is Christ's likeness. How did Jesus think and act? What did Jesus do? What kind of things do we see Jesus in the Scriptures? How he responds to things, how he ministers to people, the way that he lived, the way that his attitude was in all things. Christ's likeness, again, very clearly in this passage. The principle we call replacement, the replacement principle. Very important. And again, hear this just as a passing thing this morning. It's never enough just to put off. It's never enough just to say, I'm going to stop this behavior, I'm going to stop this thinking. What you'll do is you'll create a vacuum in your life to be filled with some other thing. And that's not the goal again. But it's to put off those old man things, being renewed in the spirit of your mind so you understand what to put on, and then letting Christ's likeness fill that vacuum of the old man leaving. That's the process. That's the issue there. Again, the goal is not morality. We'll come back to that. Now, the first part of that is the put off. Now, notice what he says about some of these things here. Put off the old man. Verse 17. Very rich language, right? Now, this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Now, isn't this theme very interesting as it continues to come up in our series on change? Isn't this interesting? That there is an evil world system, the Gentiles, the nations, the way of the world, that is going headlong its own way, opposite, in opposition, directly against the purposes and will of God. And this is what the Gentiles are doing, and this is what they will be doing, right? You know, why are we surprised when the world is ungodly attitudes, ungodly thinking, ungodly ideas? They are going against God. Of course they're going to be that way. For believers, we should no longer walk as the Gentiles do and keep going along with the evil world system in the what? Empty-headedness that they are. The futility of their minds. Their empty-headedness. Empty futility mind. Their empty-headedness. We're going to go their way in their foolishness, rejecting the things of God. It says, instead, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and walk the other way, is the point there. So put off these empty-headed thinking things. Part of that would be even just dwelling on sinful things. You notice the language that he used there. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. Due to the hardness of their heart, they have become calloused and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. that starts in their mind, in your mind. I want to practice sensuality. I'm greedy to practice it. I go after it. I'm mulling it over. I'm thinking about these evil things. Dwelling on sinful things can be part of that. Dwelling on useless or empty things can be part of that. Just letting your mind go to just futile thoughts that have no positive into them. The old man is spiritually blinded. He says that they're darkened in their understanding. Spiritually blinded. In counseling, we call it the noetic effect of sin. That sin has a darkening effect on the mind, and it dampens the things of God. It makes it so that it's not clear for us. It's harder for us to understand the things of God. Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Notice this. They knew God. They didn't honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. So they're thankless, plowing through this life, empty-headed, darkened in their understanding, rejecting the things of God, and then their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. And this is the passage where it says that God finally just gives them over. All right, fine. You don't want me? I'm done with you then. That's a pretty sad and powerful thing. In their old man, darkened mind, empty thinking, and ignorance, not wanting to know the things of God, not caring about the things of God, really rejecting the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 even talks about no capacity to understand the things of God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. He is not able to understand them. Could that be more clear? And so you see this whole aspect of this evil world system and the Gentiles that we're called to be different from, going this way, alienated from the life of God, darkened understanding. And guess what? You know, believers, there's a reason that this is a call to us today to put off those kinds of thinking. Because you can give yourself into the flow of the world system as a believer. Did you know that? I think you did, right? You can give yourself into the flow of this. And although you may be in Christ, you may be His child, you will flow into that and the same effects will happen to your mind. You'll be darkened in your understanding. You'll be cloudy about things, and you'll notice no growth, certainly. Why? You're going that way. This is why he's admonishing us to put off those actions and desires and let God work through that. The old desires of the old man to put off. Notice this. Go back to our passage with me. The old desires of the old man, number 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorances in them due to the hardness of their heart. Right? I tell you what, the world is a hard-hearted place, and it is only going to get worse. Paul talks about, in the last days, people's love going cold. The hardness of their heart. You see, there is a selfish self-focus and a rejection of other people and a using of other people for their pleasure that is prevalent in the world in the old man. Just a hard-heartedness, lack of compassion, lack of love, lack of care for people. Callousness. They have become callous. Verse 19. You ever see that in yourself, believer? Not as much compassion as God would like you to have. It's something to put off, right? You see, isn't it clear? Put it off. No, God calls me to be compassionate. No, I'm not going to be judgmental. No, I'm not going to be look down on people. I'm going to understand that I am the same as these other unbelievers, and I'm going to minister to them and give them grace. Put off those prideful old man things, old desires, hard-heartedness. Greedy to giving themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity, corrupt through deceitful lusts. A very hard heart, bad old man desires. Notice that he even says yourself, put off your old self. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Put off your old self. And think of it. Here's how I like to say it. In Christ, you're not saved for heaven so that you can still be the same old nasty you. Hey, everyone should have said amen at that point. Praise God, right? I don't like the same old nasty me. Do you like the same old nasty you? No, right? Praise God that that's not the case. Your old self needs to be put off. See, think about it. Why did all of these things happen? Huh? Right? Why did Christ go to the cross? Our old self needed to be dealt with, right? Guess what? It still needs to be dealt with. Christ has given us victory. He has overcome. He has paid for every sin, but he has chosen not to take our old self away yet. That's part of the process. It's part of what he is doing in our lives and in the world. Your old nature, that sin nature, put it off. That put off your old self, which belonged to your former manner of life. Right? It's our former manner of life. It's who you once were, and so were some of you. Right? Put those things off. The old nature, the old desires, the old mind, the old way of life. Look at 26 through 31. Again, I'm not going to unpack all of this today, but be angry and do not sin. Give an opportunity to the devil, steal no longer, right? No corrupting talk out of your mouths. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit and grieve Him. Put away bitterness, wrath, clamor, anger. Your old way of life, the way that you used to live, and hopefully an increasing measure that used to is becoming more real and more active in your lives. The old way of life. Lying, sinful anger, corrupt words, stealing, selfish, prideful attitudes. And again, remember that that old man lived in verse 18. Remember that with me today. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Remember that. It's very important as we talk about this today. Put off. So that's the put off part of that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind is in the middle. Verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Life really is a battle for our minds. The battle for your heart, your inner person, is an affections battle, and it is a battle of the mind. And that's why there are so many talking heads in this world, and that's why media is so pervasive in this world, and that's why there are so many confusing messages out there. Think about this. If you go to India, let's just use them as an example. And there's ancient Greece, Egypt, all of these places, everywhere in the world, every nation. You go to India, what are you going to find for religion? You are going to find 1 billion what? Gods. Now, why in the world would pagans call the thing that they worship gods? It's confusion. If you can have 1 billion gods, the one true God is lost in the mush. Right? There's this battle for our minds. Is that really true? Is there really only one God? Are there thousands of gods? Are all these different religions? Why would the demons want to do that? They want to be worshipped. They want to be God. But they want to confuse people. They want our minds to be clouded further and for us to miss and forget the truth. So life is a battle for your mind. The battle, then, is the truth of what God has said, the truth of God's word versus the lies of yourself, of the world, and of Satan. That's the battle that's going on in our minds every day. Wrong choices in life always start out with wrong thinking. Did you know that? Did you hear that? Wrong choices in life always start out with wrong thinking. A man never wakes up one morning and finds himself in an adulterous affair with a lady at his work before and never having thought wrong thoughts about that. Never having thought wrong thoughts about his wife. It always starts out with wrong thinking, the mind going to places where it shouldn't go, meditating, dwelling on things he shouldn't meditate on, wrong thinking about his relationship with his wife and wanting to serve her, and then he ends up with the wrong choice. It's a battle for your mind, for your heart, for your affections. And so he tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Renew the way that we think. Notice what he says about some of this. That is not the way you learned Christ. He tells us that the truth is in Christ in John 8, 31 and 32. And Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, 6. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the way that we think. And fill your mind with Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in Colossians. Rather than filling your mind with useless things. that you no longer walk as a Gentile, doing the futility of their mind. So isn't that interesting? This process is an active process where we are training ourselves to think on what God says. We're looking into God's Word every day. We're fellowshipping together with other believers and rejoicing over the Word together and letting God change and renew our minds. Because what happens? The old man, what's it doing? You're growing corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Corrupt the way that the world is going. The new man is being renewed every day. Right? You see? So we put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and by filling our minds with truth. Look at Romans 12 with me. And we're going to have a Bible drill here. I want us to look up a few passages. 12:1, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. Now notice here, this is a change passage. To present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now notice, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see the same kind of thing there. Don't go the way of the world. Let God renew your mind so that you can go His way. Now, here's where we come back to this whole issue of change in morality, where we can jump from 0 to 6 so easily. Even this thing of change is not the goal. The goal in life, in Christ, is to know Him. It's to know Him. Change really is an outcome. It really is. Now, there is a process, right? We can't ignore the process. We're given a process. We need to obey the process. But even the process can become a goal, can't it? Right? Well, I need to do this. I better get busy. Right? Well, probably you need to get busy. But it's not the goal. Now let's do this. Let's look up a few things. Notice this in change. Okay, there is a process, but what is part of this process and how does it relate to my mind? Notice a few of these. Let's turn. I'm going to go a little slower so we can turn there. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:6 with me, first of all. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Okay. Let's back up a little bit here. Because this goes right hand in hand with what we're talking about. Let's back up to 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Now notice, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice this. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give us the light of what? Of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What do you renew your mind to? Do you renew your mind to what you should and shouldn't do? Well, that'd be appropriate because God has told us what we should and shouldn't do. But isn't there something more rich and deeper that He wants us to renew our mind to? Isn't it the light of the glory of Jesus Christ daily that we should be reminded of? Of what He is up to in our life, who He is in the middle of our lives, who He is in our circumstances? Isn't change about a relationship in this passage? Isn't it? Right? You should change and do this because if you don't, God is going to get you. Huh? You better. God's going to get you. Is that who God is? I got news for us today. I'm saying us because I'm in this too. If God was going to get us at some point, we'd have already been got. Huh? Ain't that true? Have we not done enough already for God to get us? No. He is building a relationship with us, isn't He? It's the knowledge of Him that we see, that we renew our mind with. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5 with me. The battleground for our minds. Notice this. I'll give you a second to turn there. The battleground for our minds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against what? The knowledge of God. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. What are we doing there? We're renewing our mind. Why? Because we want knowledge of God. Right? We want to know Him. We want to know Him. We want more of Him. The knowledge of God. It's a relational thing that we're working through and talking about here. Ephesians 4, the passage that we're in today. You back up a few verses and we can see in verse 13, notice the goal for church ministry, until we attain to the unity of the faith and what? And the knowledge of the Son of God. What's he call it? To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? To what? To the knowledge of the Ten Commandments. Huh? To the knowledge of the biblical principles of communication. Now, do we need to know those? Yeah, sure we need to know those. But what's he say? To the knowledge of Christ. To know Him. It's a relationship that he's talking about here. Why we put off the old man, why we renew our minds, why we put on the new man, is because we want to know Him more. Because we want to please Him, because we love Him. And you see, do you understand my point now? If you jump from 0 to 6 and you get all moral and you shine up and you put a nice suit on and you do the right things most of the time, now when you're at home, you're hell, but when you're out in public most of the time, you do the right things. Where is God in that? How is He pleased in that? Where's the knowledge of Christ in that? It's a ripoff, isn't it? It's a ripoff. And isn't it so easy to do that, to make change about morality? It's not. Turn with me now. One of our guys, you can note this one down, noted this morning, 1 John 5:20. We weren't even talking about this. Same thing. The knowledge of God. But turn with me to Philippians 3, though. Turn with me to Philippians 3. Notice Philippians 3:8 with me. Now, Paul in Philippians 3 is talking about this very issue. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the greatest Pharisee, if you would have asked him at that time. He'd have been pleased to tell you that. He's the greatest Pharisee. And he had this awesome pedigree, and everyone that looked at him, especially in Israel, would have said, wow, I want to be like that. He is the greatest. And he is confessing at this time in his life, when he's writing the Philippians, that was all a bunch of garbage. It was all a bunch of garbage, and I want to throw it in the garbage, because it's not only wasn't doing me any good, it's not even helpful for me. And Paul is a great example for me, because I think of, God didn't take Paul and say, you know what, Paul, I'm gonna take the blindness off you and show you Jesus, and now you're already so good, let's just add a little to that. He said, you know what, Paul, you need to throw all of that out and start over. Right? And notice Paul's testimony now, he says. He's talking about that issue, and he says this. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of obeying the Ten Commandments. The surpassing worth of being the most moral person in my city. The nicest person in my church. I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Isn't this all about a relationship with the living God? And you see, change becomes the outcome. Change is not the goal. Morality is not the goal. Knowing Christ is the goal. And think about this. We have people who are like-minded, like-spirit. Maybe you've had a person in your life that just loves Jesus. What do you have with that person? You really have a relationship. You love Jesus together. Now, think about the most ungodly person that hates God in your life. Do you have a close relationship with them? It's the same with God. We know Him. The outcome is Christ's likeness. We love Him. We're being transformed into the same image. Why? We see His glory from glory to glory. The more we know Him, the more we love Him, the more we want Him, the more we become like Him. That's what's going on here. That's the process of change. We're putting off those old man things because they're so opposite of Jesus. We love Jesus. We don't love that. We don't love the world. We don't love that old man stuff. It's futile. It's empty. It's passing away. It's gone. It's dying. Christ is everything, and we behold His glory. We see Him as He is, and we want more of Him. And it's easier to put off that junk and to live for Him, to give ourselves for Him. We let Him renew our minds. We let Him remind us of what is true in this world, what is right in this world, and what is passing away, futile, empty, and evil. That I may know Him I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Why? That I may know him. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like his death. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that clear this morning for us? Life is really about this relationship with Christ, having an accurate view of yourself and of him. Renew your mind, man. Renew your mind by loving him. Really renew your affections. Change what you care about. Lastly, then, we put on the new man. We put on the new man. Back in our passage, Ephesians 4, put on the new man. The new man has a new nature in 24. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So, God has done a work in us to give us a new nature, and now our part in that is to continually put on these new man aspects, true righteousness, true holiness. Notice in 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The new man has a new mind, a new nature, a new mind. The new man has new desires. Your goal becomes to please God instead of anything else. Just whatever whatever God would have for me. And a new way of life. Again, then in the end of this passage, we look at the old man, his way of life. The new way of life for the new man is being honest instead of a liar, verse 25. Solving problems God's way instead of our own way, verse 26 and 27. Working and giving instead of stealing, verse 28. Using biblical communication, verse 29 through 31. Wholesome words, words that edify or build up. Words that impart grace. Words that are intended to help and bless other people rather than tear down. Kindness instead of selfishness in 32. A tender heart instead of a hard heart, as was pointed out earlier in verse 32. Forgiving instead of bitterness. Again, in verse 32, those are just aspects of the character of Jesus Christ that God calls us to put on and have a new way of life. And so for us today, the call for us is to be part of the process. But remember with me to get today, it's number 6, not number 0. It's not the goal. It's the part. It's what God. It's our part, really, in what God is doing in our lives. And what he is doing as we work through this process, James is very clear on this. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Right? Draw near to God. Have a relationship with him. Love him. He will draw near to you. And so for us, part of that is to be right, to deal with who we are, remembering the cross, remembering that these things of the world are passing away, to let God change the way that we think, that we desire, the way that the things that we even dwell on, and then to be renewed and to put on the new man together and to let God change us and then to draw near to us. We become more like him. We know him. We have a deeper and more wonderful relationship with him. And then he builds on it. He builds on it in your life. You know, let me encourage you today. If you're hearing all of these things, I have some applications. I'm not even going to read those. If you're hearing this today and you're thinking, this seems like a lot. And maybe you're even here and you're thinking, you know, I have been going so far with the evil world system, I don't even know where to start. Be encouraged today. It doesn't even matter. Why? Because Jesus knew who you were before he made you. And he went to the cross and died for you. Every sin is paid for. Today is a new day. It doesn't matter how far you think you've gone. It's that Christ has died for you. And today is the day to begin to put off those old man areas. Maybe you're upside down in something. Hey, talk to me about it. I'd love to walk through that time of life with you and help you and work through those things with you and see God change your heart and your mind. Just pick an area in your life. Maybe God's even speaking to you now where there you know there's something that's displeasing in your life that he wants to change. Let him do it. Look into the scriptures today and say, what does God say about this area of my life? What's he say? How would he have me put that off and put on the new man way of thinking? And remember this, you, someone else in your life, whatever, you're still taking in air, God ain't done with you. Huh? Right? All right. You guys are getting a lot better. You're getting a lot better. You're still taking in air. God ain't done with you. That's some great encouragement, isn't it? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your gracious love. Thank you so much for the relationship in Christ that you've called us to. And it is important, Lord, that we be part of the process, that we be actively involved in our own sanctification, that we do daily get into your word, that we do seek you, that we do draw near to you, that we do try to learn of you. But we realize, God, that that is not an end in itself except to know you, to know more about you, to have you more in our lives, to really express our love for you. God, help us as we sort all of these things out on change, as we continue to let you work in our lives. God, we just pray that you do some wonderful things among us and we can rejoice together as we continue to see this work of sanctification that you're doing in your people. And God, that we would just even testify of your goodness together daily. Thank you once again, God, that we can trust you no matter where we are at, that you love us and that you have a good plan and you're working it out. You've never left us. You never will. And God, we're just looking forward to the ultimate consummation when one day we are stripped of this evil sin. We are made like you fully. And God, we live forever in that state. In Jesus' name, amen.